So start with these paintings. This first one here kind of gives a quick history of the whole Babylonian captivity period. You notice there on the top it says 722 BC, and that's reference to, where are my notes? It's reference to the northern kingdom. Israel during this time frame was actually divided into two kingdoms, the north and the south. And the north was taken into captivity by the Assyrians much earlier than the southern kingdom. And actually, one of the unique backdrops to that is the fact that the northern kingdom, the way the Assyrians typically, when they conquered a land, is they dispersed people everywhere. And that became the problem later on, even in Jesus' time, of the Samaritans, who were a mixed breed of other cultures along with Jewish. So that's why they were kind of outcast. But that was a remnant due to this takeover in 722 BC. The 10 tribes of the northern area were taken captive by Assyria. We see that over in 2 Kings 15:29. And so in the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Ijon and, I'm not even going to try that word, Abba-Beth-Machia and Genoa and Kadesh and Hazar and Gilead and Galilee, all the land of Nephtali, and carried them captive to Assyria. In the ninth year of Hosea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Haber by the river Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. In other words, they were turned to idol worship and worshiping other gods. That was the whole reason. Besides a Sabbath for the land, which was another broken commandment, that God just needed to punish Israel at this time frame. At the end of 3 years, as this, now we're in 2 Kings 18:10, at the end of 3 years, they took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hosea, king of Israel. Samaria was taken, and the king of Assyria did carry away Israel under Assyria, and put them in Halah and in Hibar by the river Gozan and the cities of the Medes. And that's basically the references I have for the take of the northern kingdom. There's a lot more. I'm just kind of briefly pick some verses that kind of go along with these pictures. Now we come to Daniel, 605 BC. And the young Jews were taken captive. And this is when Daniel was actually taken, which we're studying. And we see that in Daniel 1:1-4. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judea, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, under Jerusalem and besieged it. This is one of three, as you'll see depicted there on the painting, of three sieges. Because actually, and originally, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to keep Israel as is, except he wanted the kings to honor his rules and follow him. Well, that didn't happen. And so ended up in the third siege there in 588 BC that he destroyed the city. But continuing on here, Daniel. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judea, into his hand with the part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashphiz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and this would be including Daniel, and of the king's seed and of their princes. Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful, and all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science and such, as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. We also see this over in 2 Kings 24:1-2. in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up. Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And this is what caused the king to have these other further sieges. Is that these rulers that he kept making deals with kept defying him. And the Lord set against him bands of the Chaldeans and the bands of the Syrians and bands of the Moabites and the bands of the children of Ammon and sent them against Judea to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant the prophets. And again, if you remember when we originally studied all this, I made reference to all the different prophets that were prophesying, mainly Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, were all prophesying against these different things, and nobody was listening. We also see this referenced over in 2 Chronicles 36, 5 and 6. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. Okay, that's it for 605 B.C. I'm going to jump to the second siege there in 597 B.C. And that we see over in 2 Kings 24, 14 and 15. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives. See the artist there made a note, 10,000 captive. And all the craftsmen and smiths, none remained, save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land. Those carried he away into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. Now this is when Ezekiel, if you were with me during my Ezekiel study, this is when he was actually taken from Jerusalem and taken to Babylon. Also over in 2 Kings 25, 1. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his hosts against Jerusalem, pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. And this is starting the actual last siege there. And this is probably the worst and the bloodthirstiest of them all, because King Nebuchadnezzar was just fed up with all. And I want to emphasize this too, because as we've been studying Nebuchadnezzar, we realized last week we talked about how God had finally reached him, and I believe probably he's going to be saved. But that during this time frame, right now we're about 588 BC, whereas where we left off yesterday, it was a few years later after this had already happened, and that you can see Nebuchadnezzar changing from this evil king into a quite a God-fearing man. Finishing up here on this siege, again in 2 Kings 25, 2, and the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by way of the gate between the two walls, is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. This actually brings us to our next slide. Now this is a slide that's depicting that final siege. I'm kind of looking at the picture a little bit. It was pretty bad. The siege lasted like 2.5-3 years. And during that time frame, that's typically how they did things back then. They would block off the city to the point where people would actually starve to death. And unfortunately, they resort to cannibalism sometimes. So that's what you see a little bit here in this picture. Over on the left there, kind of the siege on the city and the final destruction of those that tried to escape out the back wall. This is depicting the, I just realized, you can't see the picture. No one said anything. Look up, Dana. display two. I forgot when I stopped putting the verses up, it disappears. There we go. Well, let me show you that other picture again. This is the one I've been talking about. And the four different sieges, Assyria on top. And then the one with Daniel is in the is the second one, 605 BC. And the third one is the second siege. And then the final siege, the one that I'm talking about right now, the bottom one, which moves into this slide. And kind of on this one painting, on the left here, you see them trying to sneak out of the gate, but the king caught them and put them in chains and took them back to Babylon. They took all the stuff out of the temple. That's the gold pieces you see there. And that this is the line of people who didn't try to escape and were killed. They were taken into captivity towards Babylon. And unfortunately, in the bottom right corner, it's showing that they did resort to cannibalism during the end of that siege. So this is what I mean by Nebuchadnezzar was not a nice guy. So let's see, where am I now? 2 Chronicles 36, 17 through 21. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God and broke down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. And to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. And that was the other portion. It's probably the main thing, that Sabbath of the land, in case you haven't heard of that before, is that under Jewish of the laws of Moses, you know, there's a Sabbath each week that they were supposed to rest. Well, there was one for the land, too, and it was every 7 years. And they didn't keep that. For over, the end of the being that God felt that they owed him 70 years of rest for the land. So this is how he took it, by putting them into captivity. And this takes us to slide number 3. Now we get into Daniel. And so back to Daniel 1, verse 5. And this painting here, you notice we talk about the four young men that was the prime characters we've been talking about. Daniel up there at the top, his real name is means God is judge. And you remember that, I'm going to read it here. Let me read it first. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof, that they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judea, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And you'll see over on the left there, that's what their names mean. Hananiah is Jehovah is gracious. Mishael, who is what God is. And Azariah, who Jehovah helps. Well, it's quite common in this time frame that when a king took over a land, particularly a Gentile king like Nebuchadnezzar, that he would change their names. This is a way to try to stop them, take them out of their culture and try to get them used to their new culture, and thus basically not only destroy their country physically, but also spiritually, to where they won't even remember being Jewish anymore at some point. But as we see in our story, that this didn't happen to Daniel and his three friends, that they maintained their Jewishness. And this is the beginning of it right here, is where it's shown here that he refused the meat and the bread and the wine that was sacrificed to idols. But here on the right, you see that the four names that they were given, and three of those pretty much all of us know pretty well because we hear it all the time. But Daniel was changed to Belshazzar, and Hananiah was changed to Shadrach. Mishael was changed to Meshach. And Azariah was changed to Abednego. And that's what the names mean. Belshazzar is, may Bel protect his life. Bel, I think, is a god of some sort of the Babylonian Empire. Shadrach is guided by Ariel, another god. Meshach, who is what Ariel is, another one of their gods. And Abednego, servant of Nebo, which is another one of their gods. Now finishing up here in Daniel, verse 7, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed you a meat and a drink, for why should he see your faces worse like than the children which are of the sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. So this chief of the eunuchs was concerned that he would be beheaded. That was Nebuchadnezzar's go-to way of punishment, beheading somebody. That if he didn't do as the king demanded, that he was going to lose his head over it. And Daniel comes back in verse 11 here. And Daniel said to Mizar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Pulse was just like a vegetarian diet, basically. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and thou seest deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Of course, we know that's probably God stepping in there to make sure, because Daniel is being very faithful to God in this, and not defying his body with the. And thus Melchizedek took away the portion of their meat and their wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. So, first battle accomplished. Let's see. Now we come into the Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And this artist's depiction of the actual statue I showed you when we were studying Nebuchadnezzar's first dream of the four kingdoms. And I'll just briefly go through this. We see in Daniel 2:1. And this is in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. So you can see here in the picture, you can see Nebuchadnezzar over here on the left, kind of like having this dream. And you see that the head of gold being the Babylonian, chest of silver, the Medes and Persians, which is, I decided to do it now because starting next week, we get out of Nebuchadnezzar completely, and we move into the Medes and Persian portion of chapter 4. That's why I decided to do it now. Might as well get caught up. And then Greece is the brass, and then Rome would be the two legs of iron, and then the feet mix of iron and clay. But just to really briefly go through this dream, it's in Daniel 2:30-45. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than anything. But for thy sake, I shall make known the interpretation to the king, and thou mightest know the thoughts of my heart. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image, the great image whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. I notice this artist liked to depict him more like a monster and some of the other artists who depicted this. This might be a little bit more accurate, actually, than because it does say that the form thereof was terrible. The image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, the feet part of iron and part of clay. The size till a stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, and were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer's thrashing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And as we discussed, that's actually future yet with Jesus Christ, that kind of see that what it's showing up there in the right corner, right upper corner, kind of depicting God in the throne room, as we've seen in other places. And on the rock it says Kingdom of God. I think that's what it says. Kingdom of the Anointed. Then jumping down to verse 38 of Daniel 2. This is the interpretation. Whosoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over all of them. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Now realize at this point, Daniel doesn't even know about the Medes or the Persians or Greece or Rome. So he's depicting this as additional kingdoms, but he doesn't necessarily know what they are yet. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of man, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to all the people, but it shall be broken in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, that the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation of it sure. And so many people like to try to say that that Daniel was written much later because of the accuracy of his prediction here. And as we move forward in the other chapters, particularly when we get to chapter 7, we'll be kind of reviewing a similar. So I won't dive any more into this image, but I just want to review these paintings. So the next one is where we left off with the fiery furnace. And I'll just go through this one really quick, because the artist here depicted, I never noticed before. Down in the left corner there, you'll notice he signs in. He puts in what he was using for references. I never really thought about the fact that Psalms 2 is kind of like also can be incorporated into this painting. And the differences here is up in that left corner, this is the statue that Nebuchadnezzar built and where the three young men did not bow down to. I found it interesting, that chain. It's hard to read those what's written on those little bodies on the chain. But it's, on the first one is a symbol of the Jewish nation. And then it says Edom on one, and then Moab on the next, and then Tyre and Sidon. And if you really look at the entire history of the Babylonian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar took over all these kingdoms also. So in this painting, he kind of depicted all the nations that Babylon had control of. The people below there are the people that are actually bowing down to him. In the lower left corner is where Nebuchadnezzar is questioning Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about the fact that God's going to protect him. And he did. That's the picture in the middle of Jesus protecting the three young men. And then the up in the upper left corner, I had a little trouble trying to decide what that was. Haven't fully decided. I think it might stand for God protecting them. But I'm not quite sure what they were trying, what he was trying to say there. But I might have to do with this Psalms 2. And I'll just read through it real quick and we'll end this lesson here. Why do the heathen range? And if anyone's not familiar with Psalms 2, it's a really neat psalm because it's a most people I've listened to say to you, if you look real closely, it's almost like the three parts of the Godhead are having a discussion. Both the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are represented by this psalm. So if you watch really closely, it's almost like they're having a staff meeting themselves. Why do the heathen range and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I think what he's trying to basically what he's saying there in that verse is that God is in control all the time, even though we may not be aware of it. His plan is being fulfilled. And I think this part of Daniel is a great example of that. As long as Nebuchadnezzar was following along with God's plan, because he was using him to punish but as soon as it went to his head and he started to get pride moved in, that's when God had to take things into his own hands. And actually, he brought Nebuchadnezzar down, and as we're going to see moving into chapter 4. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. So that's an obvious verse that the father is talking to the son. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And we know that once God gives a title deed to the earth, to Jesus, in Revelation, it'll be after our rapture, when the Lord actually gives possession of the earth back to Jesus, Satan has it right now, that kind of like that, what this verse is talking about, his inheritance. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And that to me is pretty much the entire tribulation period. That Jesus will be in charge of what's going on with what's going on the earth. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they that put their trust in him. And that's a great verse to keep in mind, that God is very, very powerful, but he loves us. And that, when you follow his ways, the glory and blessings we receive are just we can't outdo them, that's for sure. So what did you think of the paintings? Did they help a little bit with the story? Yeah. Yeah. Any questions? I know I'm kind of early. Thought it would take longer. There's one more picture. I don't know if I showed you this one or not. I think I did during when I was teaching last week. But this is the other one that I couldn't remember if I had shown it to you or not. But this is the one of the second dream where... You see, he had the dream of the tree standing for a kingdom, and that basically it's going to get chopped down. It's kind of what's showing there at the bottom there, that it gets chopped down. And that's Daniel in prayer there in the middle, a man of prayer. That's what the name of this painting is. And I found this as I mentioned about, the other thing I was thinking about this upper left corner on this one was that maybe that was depicting the throne room of God and the fact that Daniel was not in this scene and might have been trying to depict the fact that Daniel was representing the church, which will be in heaven during the tribulation. Wasn't positive on that. And of course, in this one here, the right side is what we talked about last week, where Nebuchadnezzar went crazy. End up for 7 years, he was basically eating like an animal. And that God, that was God's punishment for him being so proud. But he comes out of that at the end, and he wrote chapter 4. Yeah, I think I say chapter 4. We're moving in next week. Actually, it's chapter 5. Oh, I can't think of anything else this week. Unless there's no questions, let's just end with a prayer, I guess. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you, Lord, so much for all you do, and that you give us these great visions to help us to know your plan. And looking forward to what you have for us next, and you help us to always be looking for your guidance in all we do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.